Hello, everyone. This is Kathleen Francis, your host of Wise Women. And we're privileged today to have two wonderful women. We're obviously wise women, that's the objective here. And we're having a little bit of technical trouble with one of our guests. So I'm just trying to see if. Okay. I'm going to have to turn off my notifications, otherwise I'll be distracted. But bottom line, last week we had a wonderful woman with a lot of common ground that I had. She is also a wonderful friend of another guest that we had a few weeks ago, Michelle Phillips. And Judith Bork is going to be our guest, as well as Michelle Phillips. And they both have spiritual backgrounds that really are out of the ordinary, to say the least. I am privileged to have both of them on today, and Michelle will be joining us shortly, but we decided that given our title, Wise Women, we want to talk about the sisterhood of women and the importance of it and why it's so critical for us to be able to have the kind of relationships that make a difference in our lives, and how those differences can manifest, and what ways can we support each other as women, as sisters, and to also take into account, I think, as well, that part of what we would consider characteristics that I certainly think we don't want to engage as some of the things that are I would say, offensive. So that's kind of the subject of the topic today. So with that said, I know Judith is on our line here. Judith, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I hope I did that introduction in a way that makes sense. But
It's fine.
Okay. So, fine. Judith, if you'd be kind enough just to establish again, because maybe not everybody heard our podcast last week where you were on, would you give us a little bit about your background for our audience? I'd appreciate that.
Okay. Well, I grew up in the States in Western Massachusetts and about an hour's drive from Boston, and I went to university in Boston, an art school. And in my third year of art school, I started actually making a few little films in art school, and I loved it. And I really regretted that I didn't go to film school, but I didn't want to have to start all over again to get my bachelor's degree. So I kept on, but I started meditating in the third year of university. And went through some very positive changes because of that. And when I heard that I could become, it would be possible to become a teacher of transcendental meditation, which was the meditation form I started, I just knew that that was what I wanted to do. So I applied and I got in and traveled to India. And I was looking forward to having a very, very deep spiritual experience there with Maharishi. I viewed him as a living prophet, you could say, or someone perhaps comparable to, for me, I mean, I had been raised Catholic, so I was seeing parallels with Jesus and, or at least an apostle. And what happened instead was that he immediately started to treat me like a woman. and let's keep it short this time around. Within a period of a couple of weeks, we ended up having an intimate relationship.
It happened that quickly? I didn't remember that part.
I think it was. I didn't keep a journal, Kathleen, because I was frightened of keeping a journal. So, but it was about 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. And my head was spinning and my heart was spinning too. And rather than then, I mean, he was supposed to be celibate. And he told me not to tell anyone. And I could, of course, have pushed him away, but I felt chosen. I mean, he was my master. I had been meditating for 2 years, and the expectations of his personality and what kind of a person he was, they had been built up during those 2 years at the meditation center. So I was just absolutely, you know, it felt, for me, it felt in a way as though God loved me. God in human form loved me. And
that's a pretty powerful.
Yeah, that was an amazing experience. And I followed him then around the world for 2 years. I'm working on the various meditation courses. And then, but then about a year and a half into it, I realized that he was seeing other women. In the beginning, he wasn't. This is when we were in India, it was just he and I. But when we came out into the West, I could tell, I just knew that he wanted to see other women. And so my heart was broken.
That must have been, I was just going to say that had to be heartbreaking.
Oh, it was so difficult, Kathleen. It was tremendously.
I can't even imagine.
Oh, it was incredible. I mean, I was, you know, young, and later on in life, I went through training as a therapist and became familiar with working with the emotions. But at that time, I didn't know anything. So, and then the other difficulty with that was that I had promised him not to tell anyone. So I was going through that myself. It was really, really painful.
Because you had no one to speak to. You probably had, you couldn't talk to anyone.
No, I couldn't. I couldn't. So I was very isolated. The same time I was surrounded by all these people who loved Maharishi and all the work with the positive work of spreading meditation to the world and all of this. And yet my illusion of what our relationship was totally crushed. And I had to handle it.
Well, in addition to your personal despair over this, and I know I suffer this myself many times, it's the despair of your ideology that you put so much of your energy and belief into something that then just crumbled.
Exactly.
And you had to carry that with that kind of emotional despair and nobody to talk to.
Right. And I mean, the TM movement developed into a sect, really. That's my opinion. But at the time, I didn't realize that I had been involved with what I would call a sect, or I didn't realize that I had had a relationship with this movement.
Yes.
Relationship with the movement. But one thing I do remember in terms of when I decided that I needed to leave, I do remember one of the difficult parts beyond losing this, you know, illusion of my master, my God, you know, loving me.
Yes.
It was also that I saw him as the most spiritually powerful person on the planet at the time.
Correct.
So in leaving, I was leaving that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on 1 second. Rodney, can you also let Michelle in to our room here? I'm hoping you guys are listening.
She's not here yet.
Hello, girls.
Hello.
All right. Okay.
You made it.
Okay. Yeah, I am here.
All right. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, where we're at right now, Michelle, and I wanted to kind of complete where Judith was presenting some points that I know you are most likely familiar with. with her experience with Maharishi. And in this, relating to what we're topicing today, is the fact that when she had the huge disappointment that occurred after Maharishi was not presenting himself as she had expected or hoped, and the despair of not only the betrayal of her personal relationship, but the betrayal of the ideology that went along with it, and the fact that she had no one to speak to about it. And so, you know, again, the recognition of the importance of having sisterhood, to have, you know, it's proven in the studies that they've done that, you know, women who have other women to speak to and connect with, that has a tremendous impact on our, not only our mental health, but our physical health as well. So, So, and, you know, Michelle definitely can identify with that, because so much of Michelle's work has to do with physical healing as well as emotional healing. So,
well, I think as we heal the emotions, it also starts healing the physical. You know, it's like nothing is separate, mental, you know, emotional, physical. Yeah. And I could not get through life without my sisters, my girlfriends right now. Like Judith brought co-counseling to Sweden, you know, where you can, with a woman, if you're on the same wavelength, you can just sit down and tell your story. And when you do, it starts clearing from you, it releases from you. Mm. So a healing takes place. And I just feel like right now, the importance of women coming back together and supporting each other, where in the past, women were so in competition with each other. And I think a lot of it had to do with men, you know, kind of pitting against each other. But my experience is we're moving out of that, and really the feminine supporting the feminine right now on the earth. You know, it's such an amazing time, and the feminine is healing the world.
You know, and it has to be this way, because, you know, I mean, I was having, you know, I have a shop in Old Town, and there was competition from, you know, it was every time I'd go to work, I'd feel that negative energy, you know, and this went on for, I don't know, a year and a half or whatever. And it was stupid competition stuff. And then one day I just decided this is enough. And I just went over there and I started buying things from her. You know? I was like,
that'll do it. Yeah.
Well, I don't know why I've never been that way. I have a history of winning every contest I've ever been, every competition. It's never coming from competition. It's always from coming to be, how can I be the best person I can be? And I'm always inclusive. I don't understand why that competition, it has to end. I feel like
it is ending, Kathleen. I mean, in the work that I'm doing, I mean, there's so many of us coming back together and really supporting each other now. And I mean, you are a cheerleader. You've always been. Everyone that I see that's in your life, you really cheer them on to be the best that they can be, you know? So I feel like with all of the kind of patriarchic control breaking loose right now, you know, as women are really taking their power back from it. And I feel like it might be to one extreme now, but we're going to come back to the middle. And I feel like the middle, of course, it's the feminine supporting each other, but really more of the men supporting the feminine also, you know, like the younger generations of men are, you know, they're very involved in their children's life. You know, many of them are really supporting their feminine, their wives, their daughters, you know, so it's just a different time on the earth plane.
Well, you know, the show that comes on right after this, Rodney Harris and his buddy, you know, a different angle, they were talking in one of their shows about honoring their own mother. And I don't think there's anything more important than having the love of a mother that you know is absolute, you know, and then we know there are plenty of mothers that have absolutely destroyed their sons and daughters. But, you know, I mean, The feminine is the nurturer. We know that.
It is.
It's impossible, I think, for us not to. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's just my own consciousness. I just feel like if the other part is, when you want to take care of somebody, nurture somebody, if there is no receptivity, then it's like, well, then you cannot do your magic, you know? Mm-hmm. And the planet is begging for us right now for that kind of energy to come forward. And too many of the women that are in the spotlight are like with this masculine energy that's disgusting to me.
But you know, I feel like it's the feminine that's coming back into balance. What do you think, Judith?
I definitely agree. Yeah. And I feel it's really important for us to build new communities with each other. Building community for me is the feminine energy, and working in circles, having classes in circles, or creating circles that are between many different countries. This kind of networking that is really important, so that we can actually feel the support, that it's not just an idea, but we can actually gain fruit from it. But there is one thing I'd like to say about sisterhood, and that is that one of the things that I learned within the co-counseling community, excuse me, someone's calling. Here, I have to hang up. One of the things I learned in the co-counseling community was about internalized oppression. And I think that this is a concept that's very important, and that a lot of us are not really aware of it. And what does that actually mean? It means that we subconsciously accepted the oppression. We took it into us.
Oh, and, God, yes.
Yeah, and that it's there inside of us in our programming, and we're just not aware of it. It's the same thing with ageism or racism, all of the isms. But we can take them into us, and they're there hiding. And like you said earlier, Kathleen, you said you got involved in this competitive relationship, and you had never been like that before. Where did that come from? That's an example of it. That the programming, the conditioning is inside of us, and it will pop up in various situations. So what do we do then? I think your solution to what you did was perfect. You broke the pattern. You broke the pattern. So that's what we need to do, as well as, you know, building circles, building community, and building on all the positive experiences. But I think it's really important for us to be aware of these patterns, because when you become aware of the pattern, then you can do something, you can choose to do something different, which many times is uncomfortable. Maybe you don't feel like doing it, but if you start practicing this principle, what you notice quickly is that it just, that the patterns just dissolve. They just go away.
And I feel like
I want to bring this into the conversation. How do we intrude in those patterns that are destructive? Because what you just said was, you know, I broke the pattern. So, you know, and then now she's like my best friend, right? In Old Town. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? How did the two of you who work with people for this purpose, what are the techniques that you have found effective to interrupt these? Because that's the bane of my existence. I get so frustrated when I see that same pattern come into my life. I just want to go, you know.
From Judith was the way you break a pattern is to do something different. And that's what you did, you know, with the woman that has a shop also. you know, because patterns are predictable. They know us so well, and they're going to step in and control us. And I really believe the patterns were handed down in our DNA, you know, that we are our ancestral DNA system. And I believe the consciousness of who we are that's at awakening right now has agreed to clear these patterns out, because we're just an extension of these DNA ancestral patterns that we're playing out now. And as we start playing them out, clearing it out of the DNA system, it clears it out of us and for future generations also. So, wow. You know, the creator talks about, we have, you know, like scientists have called it junk DNA. It's not junk DNA. It's our light DNA, or our God source, goddess source DNA that we're really opening up to. And I feel like in my experience that I see it happening all over the world. I mean, the feminists definitely taking their power back now. Yeah. You know, the protest and everything that's going on, you know, and the female is willing to die for freedom for the feminine. You know, you see that.
Yes.
In Afghanistan, all over. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So I do a lot of DNA work with people. And I know when you go in and you clear it out, it also starts clearing the pattern. And I think that's our agreement in this lifetime as the feminine, you know, the way showers, to really open up and clear it out of us. And as we clear it out of us, it's collective. You know, then we assist others to move out of it also.
Mm-hmm. And I think that it's really positive for people to realize that they can clear their patterns, you know, and we don't really know that there's a difference between us and our patterns. We're so identified with our patterns. We don't recognize, you know, oh, hello, this is a pattern. But then when you clear it, then you can start experiencing life without having that pattern, and you become a better version of yourself.
And also these patterns, like I said, are predictable. So when we start moving out of it, the pattern's going to come back again. What do you want to do here? And as we move out up, we're conscious enough, we can see that it's a pattern, and then you can choose to do it differently. But if, like Judith said, if you're in the middle of it, you don't even know it. It controls
you.
Well,
it's so insidious. All right, let's ground what you're just talking about right now. I really want to really explore this particular thing to the nth degree with the two of you, because I know you have the wisdom and the techniques that can make a big difference. So I'm really requesting that, what, you know, give me more of what you're talking about, please.
Okay, Judith, you go.
Well, step one for me was really the information, the theory, learning about it, realizing that I am not my patterns. That was a huge step right there. So you say, what's the method? That was step number one. I am not my pattern.
But now how you can just state that, because, you know, I get stuck on that. I really do. I feel helpless and just, so angry with myself.
Just start telling yourself, take it in that these emotions that I'm, and even the way I'm thinking right now could very well be one of my patterns, and I can get rid of it. And then the next thing I think is to make a decision that you want to get rid of it. So for example, you can either do this with a partner, or you can do it in a group, but there are things you can do completely on your own. One of the things I've decided to do is one of my sisters is having an event, you know, whether she's released a book or whether she's having a workshop or an exhibition, then generally speaking, I always share it. I share it on my timeline, because I know that one of the patterns that women have with each other is competition. It's not lifting the other person forward. And
yes.
Women have men are actually, it's not so much a part of their conditioning. They are better at lifting each other forward than women are.
So, and I also think, Judith, it's like you had said before, like as sisters, as we have, you know, a sister that really sits down and listens to us, like co-counseling, you can start clearing those emotions out. But how many of us, when we were growing up or, you know, whatever, had anyone that listened to us? You know, no. I mean, we weren't allowed to really express ourselves. What do you think? What's going on? So for me, that's that DNA pattern and the pattern that your soul came into this lifetime to free. So I started doing, when I started doing DNA work, it was, God, I don't know, 100 years ago, but I was diagnosed with cancer. And I started looking at, okay, who in my life has had the health problems I've had? Because when I was younger, I had a lot of them and I could see it was my father. So that's when I thought, okay, I'm going to go into his DNA. And when I did, you know we know we marry our fathers or mothers or whatever, but when I was in the DNA, I was shocked. I mean, I really experienced that I'd married my father two times. Emotionally, all of it. So then I was able to clear the pattern out of me. And when we went into the DNA by soul retrieval, bringing my light that was stuck in that emotional pattern or DNA pattern with my father. And then I thought, well, if I can go into his DNA, I can go into my mother's DNA. So I did the same thing. And then in the DNA, when you clear it out, and then when I went in for cancer surgery, not a trace of cancer was found. And I had two biopsies that had said I'd had cancer. So these emotions definitely affect our body, our health. And it's not just our emotions. It's the ancestral emotions and all the collective that everyone's going through right now. So much fear going on. And again, yeah. I feel like as we have our sisterhoods and really support each other, we can also move out of that fear, the light and love with one another, expressing how you feel. And again, as you express how you feel, the emotions connected to it start dissipating and breaking up.
You were talking, Michelle, about our childhoods. Even women were invalidated for crying. I mean, we were more allowed to cry than the men were. But I remember going to the movies and with my family, and it was a very sad story. A father had died. He came down to from heaven to talk to his daughter. And I think the movie was Carousel. And I really started crying. And my mother said, "Look at that little girl over there. She's not crying."
Oh. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, being so invalidated. You know, as children.
Yeah, that our emotions are not are things that we should hide. I can surely identify in that direction. Like, you know, when I'm teaching my acting classes, emotions are the most authentic things that we have. And that's what moves people are our emotions. Right, absolutely. Michelle?
Yes, absolutely. And again, I feel like that's the sisterhood. And I feel like we're in an ascension portal right now. We're on the earth and we're here to ascend. And for me, ascending is moving out of all of this. It's moving into the higher aspects of who we are multidimensionally, where when we came into this lifetime, you know, my experience is we chose the lifetime, we chose what we're going to go through, the patterns. And I always say, God, we must have been crazy, but we agreed to go through it to really clear those ancestral patterns out. So we've been living in all this karmic energy. You know, the creator says this is a lifetime of completion. So everything you've gone through in this lifetime has a frame of reference someplace else. So this is a lifetime. We're shifting beyond it. And the ascension is moving out of all this karmic energy, patterns, belief systems, control, whatever it is, and moving into who we are in the higher dimensions, multidimensionally, because we've been connected multidimensionally in all of the patterns and the hurt and karma and all that stuff. Yeah. So it's a hard time to be here, but it's an exciting time to be here too.
Yeah, I know you're right. It's just that sometimes it just seems like, oh, too much to even comprehend. You know?
I understand. And that's why we need each other, the sisters.
We forget that we decided to do this.
I know. And then thinking I must have been crazy.
You know, it's just like, you know, that show, The Wall, you know, where they have a contract where they either sign the contract or they tear it up. Right. Mm-hmm. Do you guys know that show?
No.
The Wall. Yeah. Well, it's a fun show. It's a very, but at the end of the show, they either that goes through this shoot, and either, you know, they either signed the contract or they tore it up. And I'm going, I'm going to go find that contract and tear it up.
But you know what? You can. I just did a class last week, and that's where spirit were taking us, you know, because I had been sick again, you know, and I was going through this tunnel of light. This is just a few weeks ago. And I felt like, I mean, it was a tunnel that people go through when they leave this planet. I thought, oh my God, like the light came in stronger than I've ever experienced it. And then I just saw layers of light. And so I felt like to myself, oh my God, I'm going home. And then I said, I don't want to, you know, and for years I'd say, take me home, I'm ready. But now I want to be here, you know, because of the shift that's happening in the world. So then I went up and I changed my contract. So in the class I just did with people last week, that's what spirit did. They took us through the tunnel of light, back up into spirit, and so we could rewrite our contracts.
Really?
So it's such an amazing time here. I mean, there's so much available to us. The shift.
Wow.
This is the shift. This is the ascension.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. And of course, I was sick and I couldn't come.
I know. We've really missed you. We missed you. And of course, your good cooking.
Kathleen's a good cook.
Yes, ma'am. I'm Italian. What are you going to do? You know?
Mm.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And you were asking, Kathleen, also about methods. And one of the methods that I just love to use is the shamanic drum journey. I call it spiritual problem solving. So basically, I mean, once you've learned how to do this process, it's like a dream, but you're awake. And you can decide before you do your journey what it is you want to work on. So, for example, you can decide that I want to strengthen my feminine aspects, my ability as a healer, or my ability as a creator, whatever it is that you want to work on. So you put the problem in, and then you go on a journey, an inner journey with your power animals, your spirit guides. And it's like I said, it's like an awake dream at the same time.
And you use drums? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah. You do this to the drum.
So like a drumming circle?
Yeah, drumming circle. Yeah, drumming circle, or doing it individually, or you know, like a person could come and do their journey with me. I introduce them to the method, and then they can go home. Once they've learned it, then they can go home and do it by themselves.
And I must say, I've done several journeys with Judith, and they're really, really powerful.
Oh,
and the other thing,
goodness,
Judith does is really she interprets dreams. I mean, incredible. Just incredible.
Oh, wow.
And I feel like as we're shifting right now, we have so many dreams that are coming through.
Yeah.
So in our subconscious, the higher aspects of ourself is really helping us clear and moving out of these patterns.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you this morning, because I was very disappointed. I have a cold. I don't know if you can hear it. And I thought I was on my way to complete healing. And then I wake up with a sore throat. But as it happens, I had a session on Zoom with Dr. Ann Consorti, who's also been on the show.
Uh-huh.
And just before, I had a dream about her and her husband. And you guys know I have precognitive dreams, right?
Yeah.
And so I dreamt in my dream, they were sitting there and we were talking. And Jim said, well, all you need is you need to sit in the sun. And then he said, here, take this potato and hold it in your hand. So I told Anne what I dreamt, right? She said, well, you need vitamin, the sun is D. You need D3, which was true. I wasn't taking my D3. How stupid am I? I know these things. I go into this amnesia. So the dream, sometimes my dreams are exactly what it is, but otherwise it's symbolic. And the potato was magnesium. So you know, I mean, our dreams will deliver the information if we pay attention. But
and
a lot
if
of
we ask, ask, yeah, for information in the dream state.
Right.
Which is important.
Or, for example, ask for a healing before you go to sleep tonight, Kathleen.
Oh, thank you. I will. That's good.
is good.
Well,
It
yeah.
works.
Well, yeah. Because sometimes I have like these bad dreams, and if I ask, I say, Archangel Michael, please give me good dreams. If I say that, then usually I do have good dreams, you know. But if I forget to do that, then sometimes I have these recurring dreams where I'm lost and I
I
can't
want to
figure out
say
where I
in the
am.
dream state, there's so many people that are leaving this world right now in so many different ways. And what the
Oh, yeah.
creator says is they leave doorways of light are opening for them collectively because we
Really?
are them. It's like we are one cell soul consciousness. So as they come together and they leave, they're assisting us to ascend in higher vibrations of ourselves. So
Yeah.
we call ourselves souls, but we're really cells of this higher one cell soul consciousness that split and came down here. So because there's
Right.
so many people leaving, and you know, I've experienced this with my son, you
Yes.
ask before you go, you know, to sleep or whatever, to really have the communication with your loved one on the other side.
Yeah.
Many times they will come through in the dream and they will give you messages and they will let you know that they're happy, they're healthy, you know, what's going on.
Yeah.
So, like, you must ask to receive. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I have a little trouble on the receiving end.
Yes, you do, but you're doing better. And that is, I think, taking our power back from all of it, you know, or the clearing the patterns, the belief systems, the stories out, like really
Yeah.
changing our story. And like, you
Yeah.
can't put the new on top of the old. The more you clear out who you're not, the more room you have, we have to connect to the highest of who we are or to rewrite our contract.
Yeah, because you know that's another really good point to not fall into who we're not, because you know I catch myself and I've been doing more. God, I hate to be petty. You know what I mean? And it's like,
Yeah.
oh, I don't want to. I don't want to be in that part, because any of us can, you know.
Yeah.
And
It's an aspect of us. Yeah.
but.
It's just a petty pattern.
Oh, you know, because finding our way, it's like, and I know I've shared that with you, but it's like it's came up, you know, over the as the new year came in, and I said, you know, how, you know, I like being with you because I can be myself. And what came into me was, I like to be with you because I can be my higher self. And actually, I said to myself, I don't want to be with anybody that I can't be my higher self with.
And
And
so that,
so,
Kathleen, is changing the pattern for you. You're choosing to do it differently. That's amazing.
well, and I find,
Congratulations.
well, thank you. But I'm definitely feeling the, you know, the discomfort of when I know I'm not in that place.
Yeah,
It's
but then
very
you have the
difficult.
choice. Yeah. So I
Yes.
think it's interesting also, you know, like one of my books, The Creator is talking about how we always, always, always match and merge with our environment. And there's so much negativity, fear going on the planet right now. And so if we watch that or whatever, our whole system's going to match and merge with it. And that takes us into the negativity, the fear energy of what's happening on the planet. So when we know that, we can really choose what we want to match and merge with, which is absolutely the higher aspects of ourselves, your higher self, other people's higher selves here. So the other morning, you know, Jesus, I call my main man, not through a church or religion, but you know, I think all of us right now have stuff going on in our life because we're ascending. And as a light is hitting all those patterns, they're coming up to heal. So the other morning, I wake up and Jesus says to me, walk with me. And that's how he's taught me my work. So he takes me into just the center of love. And he's saying, remember, remember, there's only love, you know, so I could really experience it again. So, I've had a few heart problems, but it really turned itself around. My heart's healthy again. So within
Oh, you're
us,
a freaking miracle. You just take on one thing after another that other people die from, and you just move through it like
Well,
a
I'm done
miracle
with that.
worker.
But also matching and merging, you know, since I found out, you know, I had heart issues or whatever, then, you know, like when you hear something, everyone around you has it or whatever. So it's like really easy to match and merge with that. So it's really important that we stay connected to the highest and the love within us, you know, the one love from which we were first created. So we don't match and merge with all of that.
Well, you know, using that match and merge technique can be applied to probably just anything. You know, I could go and sit at the roulette wheel and match and merge with the winning numbers, which I have done when I was in that one movie with John Voight and Anne Margaret. It was, you know, called Looking to Get Out. And, you know, that was, it took place in the casinos. And because I had to stand by the roulette wheel for weeks on end, and I started playing with my intentionality to see the, you know, to see how to make the, you know, the ball go in the number I wanted.
That's so interesting, Kath. That title of that movie is amazing because it's what's going on in our world right now.
Yeah, Looking to Get Out.
Yeah, we're all looking to get out of all this karmic energy, whatever you want to call it, the karmic energy, our ancestral patterns, belief systems. You know, we've been playing them out so that we can clear them for our health, for ourselves, our family, and the collective.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I think we are also being asked to dream the new world.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. To realize that where we put our attention matters.
Yeah, the energy flows there. Yeah.
And so in whatever way is our own unique and particular way that we are actually creating the world the way we want it to be. It might be the kinds of relationships we're having. It might be the dreams we're having at night. It might be artwork that we're doing. It might be our profession. That we're open to something new is happening. Maybe we don't know what it's going to look like. It's kind of uncomfortable, but we know what we want. Now we know what we don't want. Now we need to focus on what we want.
Mm. And really setting the intention for that, like you're saying, where the intention goes, the energy flows. Mm. And I think sometimes we forget that because we get caught up.
Yeah, we do forget that.
Yeah,
it's so weird that I forget things that I know in my heart are important. You know, like I forgot to keep taking vitamin D3. Well, you know, you're going to be sick if you don't have D3. So, you know,
it's human.
What is with that amnesia? Damn.
It's human, Kathleen.
Yeah, I think that's what you're experiencing, being human down here.
Oh, my
Which
God.
Isn't but, easy. It hasn't been easy.
But you know, and I know, I mean, it's in the Bible, you know, where two or more gathered, you know,
right?
I think that having a buddy, you know, someone that you align with, that can embrace what that alignment is and own it the way you do, that, and that's where the sisterhood definitely can come
and
into
without,
play.
And without judgment, you know, there's only
without judgment.
Love. Yeah, because we all have our stuff down here that we're working through or clearing out.
Right, right. But I know, like when I was in I was so heavy into the personal development stuff with EST and Summit Workshops and the Actors Institute and blah, blah, blah. And we had support groups that we would meet with every week, and we were answerable. You know, it's like, okay, what are you doing this week? And then we were answerable to our group, you know, because I need a boss. My discipline muscle is really bad.
You have a boss. It's God creator.
Well, if for somebody else, if I have an appointment for somebody else or something that has to be done for somebody else, I can count on myself to do that.
Absolutely.
But for myself,
very good
my muscle is so weak. It's pathetic. So,
and the other thing that's so important, that we are very conscious of what we watch, you know, either on TV, computer, or whatever, because we're matching and merging with it. You know, I don't watch the news much, but last night, Melody and I had it on, and I said, I can't watch any more of this. I could feel my whole system, my etheric body, starting to absorb it and take it in. So again, it's really important, you know, where we put our attention, what we watch. TV,
it's difficult
whatever.
For me. Yeah. Because, you know, my nature is to fight for whoever I care about.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me not to. I mean, I know you coached me and coached me, but boy, you know, it's hard for me not to feel like I have to be on the front lines and fighting for, you know, what's right and what isn't.
Yeah, I've been there too. You know, for now,
I know.
For me right now, I feel like I've done that. You know, like I'm moving into the higher aspect to really hold that light for people. And there's so many people that are waking up spiritually. I mean, it's mind blowing. So I feel like, okay, I've already done that. I'm stepping out or up so that other people can move up and do it. Like I'm tired of doing shadow work with people, you know.
What's your sign, Kathleen?
Well, that's the problem too. Cancerian, you know, the nurturer of the zodiac, right? I mean, everything in my whole, you know, my blueprint for human design, I'm the queen, not the hoity-toity queen, but the queen that takes care of everybody. So, you know, it just, everything about me is about that, you know, taking care of. And you know, it's just like, I think I mentioned when, you know, my mother killed herself when I was 5. And then my father married a count from Italy. And I had my stepmother was the countess and I had 2 stepsisters and, you know, I had to do all the housework. I got all the hand-me-downs, but I never identified with Cinderella, who got the prince and all the good stuff. I identify with the fairy godmother. So, you know, I just think that that's my job in life.
Well, I can honestly say as a friend, I love it. Thank you.
Oh, jeez. I tell you.
That's selfish, I know.
I think that's so cool. You identified with the fairy godmother.
I did. I absolutely did, you know. And I mean, even as a child, I mean, I was like, you know, people would come to me for what they wanted. And because it wasn't for me, it was so easy for me to manifest it, you see?
But also, Kathleen, I feel like that was a way of escaping all of the emotions in your childhood and the loss and grief and all of it. So your fairy godmother staying in the highest aspect of yourself then. You know, instead of really going into all the emotions of what was being done to you or how you felt at the time and the tremendous loss of your mother.
Yeah.
I mean, that's horrific at such a young age.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, interestingly enough, though, as that young child, I have memory of my babysitter and my macho Italian father. They would come to me in my bedroom, sit on my bed and cry, literally cry with their troubles to me, 5-year-old, you know? So what was it about me that caused adults to do that, even at that young age?
The light, the higher consciousness of you. And also when you're taking care of others, you don't have to take care of yourself.
True.
Like years ago, and I was going through something horrific. I can't even remember what it was. But I thought I didn't want to be there in the emotions of it. So I thought, oh, great, I'll just do sessions with others. So then when I was helping other people, I didn't have to go through my own pain.
Oh, yeah. But there's something about, you know, it's like when I think about, oh, poor me, I don't want to think about, oh, poor me.
No,
I don't want to do that because I've fashioned that. Think about, and Judith, your input on this too. Instead of me going, oh, poor little girl, which I did for a while when I was young because I got attention, right? Instead, I thought, oh, good. Okay, this is what's going to make me resilient, strong. I'm going to be, you know, it'll make me stronger.
And
that's the way I took that in, you know?
Well, not being a victim because you do have this higher essence consciousness of yourself. So on some level, you always knew this is who I am, even if it wasn't conscious, but you did.
Right.
And so you've lived your life from there. You know, in my life also, although I've gone through a lot, I've never felt like a victim. But I've always had the higher consciousness to God and spirit to get me through
it. Yeah. And I know in the details of what you went through is you had a horrendous early childhood.
Yeah, well, we've all had some challenges. So So sorry, well, Judith, she wanted you to answer. Give your feedback.
I'm just listening right now.
Okay.
I'm thinking about our respective childhoods, and I'm thinking, Michelle, I know you were the oldest of you had your brothers and your sister. Mm-hmm. So you became, at a very early age, you became the parent for your brothers and your sister.
Yeah, when they were young.
Yeah.
And then I became rebellious.
And then Kathleen, did you have brothers and sisters? Or?
I had a brother 10 years older who was abusive. I had a brother 10 years younger, and I was like his mother sister because, you know, the Italian, they left me at 9 years old alone with a baby to look after. When I look back at some of these things, you know, so I was.
You were doing a lot of caretaking.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I was the runt. I was the youngest. Oh. We were four kids, my brother and then two cousins, and we hung out all the time. But I was the youngest, and so nobody wanted to play with me.
Oh.
So I went out in nature alone, and nature became my best friend.
Oh, how beautiful.
And it still is.
Yeah. Nature is still my best friend.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
Beautiful. What a great best friend to have.
Absolutely.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just interesting how we, you know, we still carry that conditioning with us.
Mm-hmm. Well,
in different ways.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
our survival mechanisms, you know, how we all choose different ways to get through it.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Yes. Yep. Yeah, that's Well, I know, you know, the show that follows Wise Women is a different angle, and you know, Rodney and his co-partner there, you know, go into also, you know, coping mechanisms and, you know, the ways that you know, they're very real on their show, like I think we are. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, it's a couple of guys. I think that we should be on their show.
A women's perspective. But yes. I want to come back to the sisterhood. You know, I absolutely could not get through life without my female friends. I really couldn't. You know, Judith, you're such a great one. We've known each other for many, many years. And you, Kathleen, you know, we really do lift each other up, and we're in a place, three of us and others, where we are safe, where we can absolutely be authentic selves. And when we're having a down time to be able to talk to each other, I mean, Judith and I will start laughing hysterically sometimes, you know, about what we're sharing. I mean, it's just,
you know, laughing just about stuff. It helps.
Yeah. And Judith actually has great laughter. Yeah. But I couldn't get through it if I didn't have you girls, women, to really share things with and to be able to, on my heart and soul, be absolutely who I am. Because we all have bad days. And I think as a teacher, you know, if I were to go out, and you probably all feel the same way, and really share what I'm going through, you know, then people have a lot of judgments. So, because
that's,
you know,
true.
We're supposed to, yeah. So if we have friends like this, we can just process and then just move out of it, the other side of it, back into the light or the higher aspects of ourselves.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I think it's really important to have those moments where, and that brings you back to the whole thing of listening to each other, and listening actively without, creating a space for your friend to unload.
Yeah.
And to unload confidentially, basically.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is really important, the trust.
And... Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that, you know, some people that I've been friends with, and certainly many of my family members, I don't think I've had very many conversations with many of them at the level that I've had with you, Michelle, or, you know, I have a friend right now that who is male, and I have authentic conversations with him that I consider unusual. In other words, not like, you know, for some whatever reason, you know, I don't know why that is there, whatever mysterious thing is that that happens. But, you know, it's like.
And, you know, Kathleen, the gift of that is a man is listening to you. So you can see that you're already breaking the pattern because you have a man in your life where you're starting to communicate on that level. Have you had other men in your life that you could communicate on this level that really get you spiritually?
Oh, God, Doug, I so miss him.
That was quite a few years ago.
That was, you know, I really know that he knew me, you know. It's so, I think, important for us to have someone in our life that knows.
And now we're getting to know ourselves. And like I said, with younger generations, the male does support the feminine. They support their wives, you know. It's just a totally different time where our fathers worked, you know, the woman, you know, stayed home or whatever, or worked also. But we didn't have the support of our fathers on the way that men are supporting their wives and children now. And I'm speaking from experience because I have nephews, you know, I have a lot of young men in my life that are amazing now with their children, you know, with their wives. So that support system that we didn't have, but it's a different time on the earth. So even with that, we can see that we have evolved. I mean, of course, we still need to evolve more, but that's the generation that also is clearing all of these old patterns and programs out.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I have, you know, the tenure to have the length of time with people, you know, like, you know, my business partner, I've watched him evolve and I've watched that growth. And, you know, that's something that is irreplaceable for any of us to be able to have. And I'm sure that you've seen, I've watched you over the many years that we've known each other, that we've watched each other grow and evolve. And that's inspiring to know that we can, in fact, move into the better versions of ourselves. And that, you know, we've taken this journey together to watch and observe what is possible with, you know, an intention to do that.
That was not an idea that I was raised with. That was something I discovered when I started to step out into the world. And it was actually the meditation was the first thing, discovering that I could change.
Yes.
And develop a whole different way than I expected to. Mm-hmm. So that's also an indication of times being changed. Times changing.
Yes.
We weren't raised with that idea, but here we are. You know,
yes, indeed. We're coming to the end of the time together, which is never seems like it's enough. So I'm hoping that maybe we can also, you know, continue this exploration with the two of you, who I cherish. Both Judith knew in my life, but Michelle certainly over 20 years we've known each other. So.
And I certainly cherish both of you, my good friends. I don't know how I could get through life without you. I really don't. You know, with light consciousness and the honesty and the trust, and it's so important.
It is.
I agree.
I'm going to have your contact information on for Rodney to maybe do a little voiceover with your contact information and have that on the site where we are going to have this up. So
great.
Have to say goodbye, but I'm going to have
to. Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for today.
Yeah. Yes.
And thank you for what you're doing here to support the feminine.
Thank you, Michelle.
Absolutely.
With the show. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Judith.
Thank you, Kathleen. Okay, love you.
Love you. Bye. Love you both. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.